Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. All right, are you ready? Here's my question of the day, and this one may seem like a call, like it calls for an obvious answer, but I want you to think deeply before you answer to yourself in your car or wherever you're listening today. Are you ready? Here it is. When you think of ISIS, what comes to mind? When you think of ISIS, what comes to mind? Is it fear? Dread? Anger? How about prayerful intercession? Well, you know, it seems impossible to turn on the news these days without hearing of new atrocities committed by ISIS and other Islamic extremist organizations around the globe. We're often left wondering, what can we do in the face of such evil? Well, Lorraine Marie Varela has written a book called Love in the Face of ISIS, and she's been on before. It was so powerful. We asked her to come back again because I felt like we were just scratching the surface on what we need to know, not only about ISIS, but about what the Word says, about what our call is, and what is possible when God's people pray. I'm looking so forward to this conversation. We'll get her on in a moment. Second hour, my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley joins us to talk about how to navigate relationships during times of transition. Both hours are great. I hope you can stay tuned for both of them. Quick announcement before we get Lorraine on. Special welcome to those tuning into our new signal who are hearing us on Faith Radio 93.1 FM, Waterloo, Iowa. If you're listening in on the FM dial, new to the Faith Radio family, we would absolutely love to get you a new listener packet. You can sign up for free and you'll get a sample disc of some of our programming, just best of, so you can get a sense of what we're about. We just welcome you to the family. So glad to have you listening. Also, excuse me, we are right in the midst of our Live Free Challenge for the month of August. Praying, running, biking, walking, logging miles, using our best energies for the world's greatest needs. And we are hoping, praying to raise $50,000 to help put an end to human trafficking. All the money will go to International Justice Mission. So basically, how many miles can you log in August? And then you get sponsors. And we've made it very easy. In a matter of 5 minutes, you have a little fundraiser page up and you share it on your social media sites saying, I hope to walk, bike, run this many miles in the month of August. And then you kind of set a goal financially. My goal is 200 miles on my bike and $2,000, and I've hit 103 miles. So got a little bit of ways to go, but I've crossed over the halfway mark, and we're not even at the halfway in the month. So come on, let's do this together. We've got 80,000 pledged, but I guess it shows goes to show that what's the percentage? I think 70% of those who pledge fulfill the pledge. So we want to keep going. We want to blow our goal out of the water. So will you join us? All the information on the Live Free Challenge is on our website at myfaithradio.com. Okay, let me tell you about my first hour guest. We'll get her on the show. Lorraine Marie Varela is a professional photographer and the author of Powerful Moments in the Presence of God. She lives near Seattle, where she and her husband Gabriel help lead a Foursquare Messianic congregation. You can find her materials on our website at myfaithradio.com. She's also the author of the book we're talking about today, Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Dear Lorraine, welcome back to the program.
Susie, thank you so much for inviting me back once again.
Good to talk with you. Looking forward to the conversation. So, Lorraine, we start every conversation every single day talking scripture. Wondering if you've got a passage that you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Well, just in preparation for our time together talking, I'm thinking right now of the end time strategy that the Lord has for the region of the Middle East, that Jesus is coming back to recover the remnant that is there. So, Isaiah chapter 11. Now I'm going to have to race and find it. I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 through 12 says that in that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time and bring back the remnant of his people. And so we are praying for the remnant today through these strategies.
Hmm. Can you unpack that passage a little bit more for those maybe aren't familiar or don't know exactly what it means?
Sure. Well, Isaiah chapter 11 is speaking about this, what will happen when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. And he says that in that day, there will be a banner of salvation to all the world and all the nations will rally to him. And the Lord will reach out his hand to bring back the remnant. And so to me, what that says is that this is a specific region of the Middle East that has prophetic and spiritual significance, not just historic significance in the geography. And we saw something happen in the region of the Middle East back around 1940s and 50s, where the Jewish population was pretty much wiped away, and they were forced to leave. And there are very few countries that even have a strong Jewish presence. And now we're seeing that same wave coming through with the Christians. And so really, it's the strategy of the enemy is to remove God's people from that region, because Satan knows about this passage as well.
Wow.
And if you can remove the remnant, you don't have a remnant to recover.
But if you can remove the remnant, you won't have a remnant to recover. But he will not be successful, will he?
Correct. No, no, he won't. No.
Well, talk about when God first gripped your heart with the people of the Middle East, of what's going on in the Middle East.
I was first introduced to the region of the Middle East through a friendship that we had through some missionaries that were in Egypt. And there was this one time in my prayer life in that early 2014, and I was in the season of being awakened by the Lord to just go and meet with him in the early morning hours, which are so powerful. And it was at the close of one of these times, as the sun was rising, and I just felt the Lord ask me this question, which is a great question to be asked. If I could send you anywhere in the world, where would you like to go? And I'm like, is this really a question? It's like, well, and then immediately I said Egypt. And I don't even know why I said Egypt, why that came out of my mouth, because that wasn't something that I was thinking of. But as soon as I asked it, I knew that it was right. And so it just kind of led us on this journey, my husband, myself, and some friends of ours, to go into the Middle East. We went to Egypt. We later went on to Israel and to other countries. But it was just there that we had our first introduction to the culture and the people of the Middle East. And it was just amazing that the experiences we had. Everybody told us, why are you going there? Don't go there. That's a scary place to be. You're not going to be safe. And obviously, this was after the Muslim Brotherhood had already come into power, and there had been all that turmoil that we had read about in the news. But as we just walked with the presence of God. We actually had angels that accompanied us. We met angels along the way. You hear these stories in the Middle East, and we got to encounter that. And I think it just opened up our hearts to receive the love that God has for those for the people of the Middle East, for Muslims and for believers. And his heart is so big, and he just imparted part of that to us.
Tell me a little bit about the people of the Middle East that just gripped your heart so.
Well, later, the next year, we had an opportunity to go into Jordan and meet with the Iraqi Christian refugees that had fled from ISIS. And when you talk about gripping hearts, that's definitely where my heart was gripped again, because I went in, obviously, I'd already been to the Middle East, but I still had some preconceived ideas, I guess, about what their lives were like and how my life was so different being American. But when I met with the Christian refugees there, I realized that they were no different than I was. And it was this one moment in particular where I was sitting on a rooftop in Jordan, overlooking one of the cities, and I was talking with one of the refugees, a young man who was in his 30s, and he was a believer, but he had seen what had happened in a neighboring city of Mosul when ISIS came onto the world stage, but he never thought it could happen to him, even though geographically speaking, he was only about 15 miles away, because he had such faith and trust in the Kurdish Peshmerga, the military forces that were protecting his city. He didn't know that he would be one that would be at risk. And so when he talked about his life, how he was living for just trying to make a living and taking care of his family, there was so much that I related to how we live in the West, just kind of in our own little bubbles. And my heart was just drawn to him when he shared his story about how he ended up needing to be rescued himself. And I had this infinity, you know, his story could be our story. And we just really need to have our hearts and our lives, eyes focused on the Lord.
Well, wow. Appreciate that so much. So it's book Love in the Face of ISIS. We've got a good handful of copies to get into the hands of our listeners. We'll do the drawing, the usual drawing, where you email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com, name, mailing address, and put love or something in the email so I know this is the book you're looking for. Talk about, just for the reader, your intent, even the strategy and the way that you wrote this book. What's your intent? So when people get a hold of this book, what are you hoping they experience?
Yes. What your readers are, and the listeners should understand, is that this is God's heart that he imparted to me. I was not, even though I'd had those experiences of going into the Middle East, I was not thinking about writing a book about ISIS. It was the farthest thing from my mind. But God deposited this topic into my heart when I was just sitting at a writer's conference, as I shared the first time. And so that's so important for me, and I hold on to that, is that he gave me this vision of being seated in heaven, looking at the earth from his perspective. And I knew that this was going to be a book about prayer strategies. How do we pray heaven to earth? How do we come into agreement with God's purposes and what he wants to release? And so based on that, I had a conversation very quick, briefly, with a woman who's been in the Middle East in Jerusalem for over 20 years, and she's an intercessor. And I called her in Jerusalem, and I said, has the Lord ever shown you how to pray? And she said, yes. He said, find the I am in the difficulty. And I knew that she was speaking about the I am covenant names of God. And these are the seven that the Lord gave me to release for this book. And so I'm sure we'll talk about those today. Just what are those covenant names of God, and how when we pray his name, we're releasing his purposes through that prayer.
So good. So we're going to talk about the seven prayer strategies. I'm going to read one of the prayers as we go out to break, one of the prayers from Lorraine's book. And listen to this and pray along with me, if you would. Thank you, Lord, that you are righteous and holy. I praise you that you're lifted up and exalted above all people, nations, rulers, and powers. There's none like you, Yahweh. Thank you for extending your righteousness to me through my faith in Jesus, cleansing me of all my sin. You call me to be holy as you are holy. Increase my faith to believe your promises until great faith rises up and shatters every doubt and thought that does not line up with yours. I join with your armies of believers, boldly releasing your purposes here on earth through the power of your name. Where there is darkness, release your light. Where there is evil, release your love. Turn those with the hardest of hearts to look on your face and receive your mercy while there's still time. Father, forgive. You are that good. Make my heart like yours. I declare that all nations of the world will bow in awe and fear of your name, because the earth is yours and all of its contains belong to you. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord of hosts, I pray this in agreement. Your will be done in faith. Amen. We're going to take a short break. More with Lorraine Marie Varela in a moment. We live in a day where fear seems to be on the rise. Everybody's dealing with anxiety, not everybody, but lots of people. And yet, what does God call us to? Courage, conviction, compassion, fierce, tenacious prayer. Talking to Lorraine Marie Varela today about her beautiful book, Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. And she writes, as you begin to take up this assignment to pray over the crisis in the Middle East, it's crucial that you keep your eyes focused on the one who is love and not let your heart become weighed down by the horrific forces of evil. Through prayer, you're able to assume an offensive position to defeat the enemy as you come into agreement with the purposes of God, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of justice. We'd love to get a copy into your hands. We've got nine. We're so blessed. So email me. Chances are pretty good you might get one. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Mailing address, name, and put love somewhere in that email. And I'll assume it means you love me too. I'm just kidding. Hey, Lorraine. Okay. Sorry. Just, you know, trying to fish in for those compliments whenever I can get them. I'm sorry. All right. Let's talk about the seven strategies. The first is the prayer to release the presence of God. What say you?
Well, there's such power in the presence of God. And we know that whenever someone is confronted with the power of God's presence, the result is going to be in a heightened awareness of who he is. Mm-hmm. I think about, first of all, Saul, when he's on the road to Damascus, and we know him also as Paul, but, you know, he gets this, he's out hunting for the Christians and trying to persecute them. And yet he has this powerful encounter with the presence of God, and his life is forever changed. And so we see God's presence showing up in the Middle East today. We're hearing these reports, and there's a very powerful way that the Lord is reaching in with the power of his presence, and that's through dreams and visions, because this is an area that there's a receptivity in that area of the world to hearing in that way.
And we're
the power of his presence.
It's amazing. We've covered this topic numerous times on the show with different experts, and they're all saying the same thing, that they're seeing, Muslims are seeing visions of Jesus, and they've not met him, but they know it's him. He's the one true God. And they'll see a vision with him in a white robe with scars in his hands and a book in his hand. I mean, it's like all this biblical imagery. It's absolutely amazing. And boy, and when Muslims come to Christ, the kind of faith and courage it takes for them to bow their knee is
absolutely
beyond what we can imagine. So in that chapter, you tell the story about a jihadist who heard the statement in a dream, "You're killing my people." And standing before him was a man dressed in white, and he knew it was Jesus. Tell us that story, if you would.
Yes, that was a story that that came out from, I think it was Voice of the Martyrs is where I was first introduced to that story. But that just as you described, there was this jihadist that had a vision of the man in white that told him that he was killing his people. And he ended up having another confrontation with a Christian where he engaged in killing once again. But as a result of that, he was offered the Bible before the Christian died. And so, you know, reading the word and having love, just pursuing that love that pursues came after him. And he was given a second dream. And this time there was the encouragement or the proposition to follow Jesus. And he did.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. A life was changed, yeah.
Here's another beautiful excerpt from your book. "In the presence of darkness, light shines brighter still. Believers in the Middle East who are surrounded by the cruelty of ISIS need to be comforted and strengthened by the powerful presence of God that dwells in them. Pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill them with courage and that the promises of his presence will result in greater awareness of his Spirit at all times, releasing hope in their hearts as their faith continues to expand and grow." Now, this book came out this year, but even since its release, Lorraine, we're hearing increasing reports of even sleeper cells in the U.S. And of course, what that does is make us want to pull back and be afraid. So talk about how to pray to release the presence of God, not only over the Middle East, but over what's brewing under the surface in the U.S.
Right. Well, we know that the promise of God's name, that the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema, connects him to the promise of his presence. His name connects him to his presence. And I think, you know, again, we can focus on what we see in the news and what we hear coming out, the reports, like you said, the sleeper cells and those types of things, so we can focus our eyes on the Lord. And if we focus on just what the news is telling us, our hearts are going to be dragged into a place where we don't want them to go. Honestly, it's just, I say, I need to come into alignment and agreement every day with God's purposes. So yes, God, release your presence into my life too. You know, when we have become believers, we have the Spirit of God that lives in us. But there is this really interesting correlation I was just listening to the other day, where that the presence of God doesn't necessarily rest on every believer. This pastor I was listening to was saying how when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. And there's this resting that comes onto a person when we host the presence of God. And that's what I want. Mm. I want to host his presence and be conscious of him so that I can release his purposes in the earth through my agreement with him in my life.
Well, as you even say in the book, as we camp in God's presence, boy, and if there's ever been a time where we need to shut the noise down and open our ears and spend some time with the Lord to get his heart for what's going on in the world, man, it is now. And especially if we're given to fear and to angst. And yet this is a place where we can actually do something about what's going on. So speak to the person who's maybe overly consumed the news and feels their gut is tied up in knots. And so they've tried to pray, but they're still so bent on, you know, feeling anxious. What advice do you have for them?
First of all, know that you're not alone, that God knows the condition of our hearts is a tendency to fear. I think about, you know, the words do not be afraid and do not fear. How many times do we read them in scripture? That's so encouraging to me because God knows this is the first tendency that we have when we're faced with such, you know, when we're faced with horrific things, we tend to go into fear. I mean, Peter was afraid. He walked with Jesus and he was afraid. So, you know, we see this throughout scripture, but God says, do not be afraid. So it is command, and we need to align ourselves with those purposes. Okay, Lord, so if you've given me this command not to be afraid, then how do I walk in not being afraid? How do I walk without a fear? And he gives us the courage. He gives us the vision. He gives us the insight when we put our lives back to him and focus on his promises. I say, be in the word. The word is so encouraging if you're afraid. And know that this is not unique to even this time. Throughout history, we've seen where there have been situations where fear has risen up, and yet God's given that ammunition to his church to fight against that through his courage and through his promises.
You know, even prior to 9/11, those who were listening, I mean, many intercessors were warned ahead of time something was coming, and they prayed. And who knows how many people were saved because they prayed, you know? I mean, how many stories were diverted,
right?
Because there are documented stories of those who are going to go to work and they opted to stay home, or they forgot something and turned back around. We won't know on this side of the stories that are intersected by our prayers, but we need to pray as if that's going to happen, right?
Right. And, you know, what a better place to live in that place of just confidence and trust in the Lord, no matter what you see going around you. You know, I'd rather live that way than to live in with a fear-based model. So
indeed,
it's just better.
It's just better. Okay, we've just got a moment here before we take our next break. So say a word. I want to take this one on the other side because I know there's a lot I want to ask you about on this one. But what does it mean to pray to release the armies of God?
The armies of God is very a powerful word because it's based on the Hebrew word seva, which is army. But the armies of God is this word also in Hebrew refers to the celestial bodies, the whole of creation. So really we're talking about releasing the Lord of hosts, who's the Lord of all. It's powerful.
Boy, is it ever. So as we go out to break, I want to read another prayer to you from Lorraine's book. Again, title is Love in the Face of ISIS. Just pray with me. Boy, if you're driving in your car, you're at home, let's intercede even right now together, all right? Lord, I thank you that you're faithful to your word and to your promises. I praise you that times of refreshment come while we're in your presence. Bring the comforting presence of your Holy Spirit now to my brothers and sisters in the Middle East, filling them with courage as their awareness of your nearness is taken to new heights. Release your hope into their hearts, hope that does not disappoint, as their faith in you expands to grow deeper and stronger. As your presence increases, may they do the greater works Jesus promised they would do. As your work, healings, deliverances, miracles, signs, and wonders through their hands for your name's sake and for your glory. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord is there. I pray this in agreement with your will in faith. Amen. We'll be back in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lorraine Marie Varela, author of the book Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis of the Middle East. And I feel like Lorraine's done a beautiful job of conveying God's heart for his people, conveying his heart for the lost. And if you feel like you've been living just sort of in reaction to the news and stressing about it, and you want to actually do something about it, get this book, roll up your sleeves, get into your prayer closet and engage with God. I'm telling you, your heart of faith will grow. In fact, the publisher was so generous, we've got 9 copies. So if you want to be entered in on the drawing, would love for you to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Include your name, mailing address. Remember, I need your mailing address. Can't email this hard copy book, and then put love or something like that in the email so I know which book it is you're looking for. So we're talking now the prayer strategy to release the armies of God. Talk about what that looks like from a biblical standpoint, and what the armies of God accomplish on the earth.
Right. Well, Susie, the first thing that I think about when you say that is that we know that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. but against principalities and powers and the spiritual realm. And so when we're praying for Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, to be released, he's actually releasing, I see it as a military strategy. The Holy Spirit reveals the strategies of God to the hearts of us as we're yielded to him. And he gives us the prophetic declarations that are united with his purposes. So this is the beginning of our ability to help pull down those strongholds that ISIS has created.
Well, let's stick with the whole military strategy, because it makes me think of James 4:7. You often hear people just quote a portion of that verse, resist the devil and he will flee. But that doesn't exactly happen without the first part of the verse, which is submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. And I remember studying that passage, and submit to God is a military term, and what it means is get back in rank. And I want you to just speak to this, because you address this whole idea of forgiveness and, you know, purity of heart in your book, but we can't really engage in warfare, battle, and prevail in any way with stuff in our hearts that we're not dealing with. We may be out of rank for any number of reasons. Love for you to speak to that whole idea, because this ain't messing around. I mean, you can't wing this stuff. We got to take our hearts seriously, and you know, and the enemy's a legalist. He'll go after any real estate we're giving him. So maybe speak to that.
Right. Well, I think you covered that really well, because, you know, we do need to be in right relationship with the Lord as we come before him. And, you know, obviously, one of the first things that we do when we approach the Lord is search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any anxious thought. You know, just go ahead and release those fears and those things that are holding us back from just walking in unison with him. And then just come into alignment with what he wants to release through us as we pray.
And I know you wrote this a while ago, and I know when I do author interviews and they'll ask me about a particular story, I kind of go, oh no, because, you know, I'm my head in my next book, and then I don't know what they're talking
right.
about. I don't want to do that with you, but so tell me if I'm doing that to you. But it's the story that you reference, Reese Howell, intercessor, but it's about Prime Minister Winston Churchill in the World War II,
yes.
That whole thing. Do you remember that story?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Reese Howell's part of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, when I was researching this book, I could not help but be reminded of Reese Howell, who was an intercessor in World War II, and he was from Wales, and he had a group of students that they would meet together every day and just pray over the situation that was unfolding. And there was a very pivotal time in history, which was during the, the battle. It was, oh, forgive me. It was the battle during World War II. And the British Air Forces had deployed all of their planes into the sky. And they were really in this very vulnerable situation where they were outmatched. And when everything looked like they should fail, the German forces, the planes turned around and went back. And it was a miraculous moment. The battle wasn't won at that specific moment, but it certainly turned the tide. And so Reese Howells and his intercessors had been praying during that time. And some of the insights that God had given to them are the insights that he gives to us today, because they said, must we have fear because others have fear. So this whole subject of fear has interwoven throughout history, not just for now. And can we trust God for the impossible? We need to find out where God is in the situation. And if God is going to deliver from this hell, there will have to be some power released.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are powerful statements that they shared and held on to as they were going in to pray, just as their faith was being encouraged and grown as well.
And this is one of the things he said that you referenced in the book. Everything was examined in God's presence, and motives were sifted until the Holy Spirit could show his servant intelligently that there was an undeniable claim for prayer to be answered. Then faith would stand to the claim and lay hold of the victory. And there would be no rest until he had God's own assurance that faith had prevailed and victory was certain. It was not just praying and then hoping for an answer. I want you to hear this today, because this again is boiling down your faith to going, okay, I have to sort through my stuff. So motives are sifted in the presence of God until all of a sudden you get to the core issue, and then you get to the core promise, and then you put your feet on it. But that they labored in prayer, and truly when they were sensing a breakthrough was when, for some unknown reason, the German planes retreated, creating an opening that did turn the tide on that war. It's absolutely amazing, but it involved some labor on their part, right?
Right, absolutely. And I love how you said that, again, that just reinforcing that we don't pray with hoping, and we pray in faith. It's faith knowing that God is listening, because he's inspiring these words to be spoken back to him to begin with.
So good. Okay, so the next prayer strategy, prayer to release the protection of God. What say you?
Protection of God comes under the banner of the Lord is my shepherd. And I feel how Jesus has fulfilled the role of the shepherd in its entirety. And in times of trouble, the need for a shepherd's protection is never more acute.
And you write this in times go ahead. Sorry, right there. And you said, Scripture is filled with testimonies of those who cried out to God in their distress, and he answered their prayer. Prayer spoken in agreement with his will. Prayers that released his response for protection. People in the Middle East, even though it's a crisis, Christians are actually having encounters where they know God has intervened. I mean, have you been hearing stories? I've been reading little bits in here and there, but God is moving on their behalf.
Yes, absolutely. And I did have some interviews when I was researching this book with humanitarian workers who had been in those types of situations where, you know, they were in a precarious situation and fear was very present, and yet their spirits were calmed by the presence of the Lord, and they knew that there were people that were actually on their knees praying at that moment because they had this prayer support across the world in California.
And that just goes to show you how important our prayers are, and that's why we're called to be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Well, Lorraine, do you have a book of your book in front of you?
I do.
Okay, will you open to page 87? I just love going to break with these prayers, but I would love the author to read her own voice. Your prayers are just beautiful. And this is a longer one, but I still think it's worth it because we don't want to just talk about prayer today. We actually want to pray. So as Lorraine reads this prayer from the chapter, Pray to Release Protection of God, would you just pray with her? And I'm going to pray with her. We're going to see things change. We want to be part of that army of God that engages God. So go ahead, Lorraine. Love to hear you pray from that chapter.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me the privilege of praying for the leaders in the Middle East. I praise you that you give your wisdom when I ask. Yahweh Roi, lead me now in wisdom as I pray with my spirit and with understanding. Thank you for the governmental leaders you have set in place in the nations of the Middle East. Confront them with your holiness, opening their eyes to see you as you are. Turn their hearts to you that they may come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus as their Messiah. Expose the leaders who are set on doing evil and remove them from their positions of power. In their places, appoint leaders whose hope and trust is in you. Release your wisdom so that leaders will rule with godly discernment. May they be ones who pursue peace, peace with God and peace with mankind. Give them hearts to govern their nation with justice and righteousness. Give them vision to see beyond the troubles that face them today, helping them to make wise decisions that will benefit both present and future generations. Protect the pastors and leaders who are shepherding your people in the Middle East. Draw near to them as they lead others with gentleness into deeper levels of faith and trust in you. Give them wisdom and understanding as they set an example by walking in love, mercy, and forgiveness. May they hear your voice more clearly than ever before as they saturate themselves in your word and in your presence. Empower them to strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the broken, bring back what was driven away, and seek out the lost. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, I pray this in agreement with your will and faith. Amen.
Beautiful. That was from Lorraine's book, Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. We're walking our way through these. Would love to get a copy into your hands today. Easy to do. Just get in the drawing this way. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your name, your mailing address. Put love somewhere in that email. If you've got questions for Lorraine, include those in your email as well. We're going to pause for just a short break. When we come back, we'll uncover more of these prayer strategies and talk about how to engage the heart of God, considering the crisis, not only in the Middle East, but what's brewing here in our own nation. More when we return. Remember what the Lord tells us. Have I not told you? Be strong, be courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you wherever you go. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Lorraine Marie Varela about her book, Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. We're working our way through these strategies. We're looking now at the chapter, the strategy number six, prayer to release perseverance for the people of God. And you address the Lord is my banner. What does it mean when we say the Lord is my banner?
Well, the banner is a very interesting symbol that's used, which often used during conflicts. And one of the banners that I was referencing in the book is how Moses held up his staff in battle as a banner for the people to see when they had come out of Egypt and they were being attacked. And it's a symbol that people could look up to for hope, for direction, for encouragement. It was also a rallying point where people would see the banner raised up and they would come near so they could get instruction. And then I talk about how Jesus became the banner for all humanity when he went to the cross. So the banner is a very powerful symbol, and it's a very powerful tool that's used to direct our attention back to the Lord. And so when we have our attention directed to him, then we can persevere through the battle. And that's the concept that's being released through this chapter, is how do we persevere? How do we pray for perseverance for the people of God through this situation?
So talk about what that's looked like in your own prayer life and how you've responded to the guidance of the Spirit to pray for these oppressed brothers and sisters of ours.
Well, we need perseverance.
Yeah, indeed.
To continue to pray.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, it's just like even this morning I was thinking about that, because it's just, you know, we can grow weary and we can grow tired. And how much do we need that perseverance too? Which reminds me of just one of the interesting things that happens as we pray through these strategies, is that I found that after I wrote the book and I started praying through these strategies, that the very things that we pray for, that I pray for in agreement, that the Lord would release over our, my brothers and sisters in the Middle East, over the conflict and the situation, over ISIS, those strategies become strategies that he releases back into my life, my favor. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm praying for the release of God's presence over there, he says yes. And then he gives me the release of his presence here. And so just when you said that about perseverance, I was thinking just this morning, how much do I need to persevere to hold fast to God's promises, to hold fast during conflict, and that, you know, that we need strength and perseverance. And that's one of the concepts that's being talked about in this book, in this chapter.
Well, if you could move to page 100 in your book, you've got such a beautiful voice. I would love for you to pray. This one feels more like a personal prayer. It's for us and it's for those we're praying for. But that whole idea of you're my banner and you're the place that I come to when I need power and presence. So would you pray that prayer on page 100 for us?
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you, Lord, that you are my banner. You are my hope. I place all my trust in you. Yahweh Nisi, I praise you for lifting up the banner of your presence over me. I invite your purposes to be released as I join with my brothers and sisters in the Middle East in prayer. Remove every barrier, every obstacle, and every objection that stands in the way, preventing your will from being done on earth as it is in heaven. As you lift up the banner of your power and presence over your people, may they look up, raise their eyes to see above their natural circumstances and into the heavenly realm where you rule and reign. Give them the tenacity to persevere until your victory is complete. I stand with them in purpose and in unity as your glory is revealed. May the banner of your glory come even now. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord is my banner. I pray this in agreement with your will and faith. Amen.
And I'm going to pray also from that same chapter. Thank you, Lord, for the workers you've called and sent to the Middle East. They carry your love and compassion into one of the darkest places on earth. Increase your love in their hearts until it overflows. Send more workers into the harvest, for the harvest is great, but the workers are few. I praise you, Yahweh Nisi, for your banner of love that stretches over them even now. Thank you for being a refuge and strength for your people, a present help to those who are facing times of trouble. When your workers face frustration, discouragement, and fatigue, surround them with your presence, turning their frustration to peace, encourage them with hope, and renewing their strength as they wait on you. Cancel every assignment the enemy has placed against them as you shield them from harm and fill them with your power. May they find their rest in you, rest that brings your strength, joy, and peace. In the powerful name of Jesus, the Lord is my banner. I pray this in agreement with your will and faith. Amen. So beautiful, Lorraine. Wow, just fantastic. So when you think about how things are playing out, I mean, it just looks like we are in the latter days. How do you pray strategically in that regard? Because, you know, Anne Graham Lotz says, you know, things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place. But we still pray for mercy. We still pray for revival. We still pray for correction and redirection. But I know you're very aware of just the end times clock. I mean, how has just the escalating events impacted your personal prayer life?
To be more deliberate and intentional in my prayer life. As you know, at the outset, we cannot be looking at our situation that's happening in our nation and in the world without seeing just the end time strategy, just the end times coming closer. I mean, it's such, we live in such a unique time in history as never before. And I've been watching this unfold thinking, is this just my perception or is this really different? And I believe that that we are really seeing these scriptures being fulfilled in front of our eyes. You know, as we see this attack in the Middle East and the remnant that is struggling to survive there, that's part of that end time strategy. So as we see these things escalating, we need our prayer life to escalate in response. I mean, we can't just sit back passively and watch things unfold and not have a deliberate response in as a result of this. We can't.
Scripture,
it's not time for that.
No, I'm sorry. Scripture, you know, talks about as was in the days of Noah. I mean, there'll be people eating, shopping, partying, and
that's,
you know,
right.
And truly, we've talked about this, that there are two responses you can have that I think are both slippery slopes. You can shake your fist at the darkness, or you can entertain yourself to death, mm-hmm. so you don't have to face what's happening. But there's a way to prayerfully engage, and this is, the hour's urgent, isn't it?
Yes, and God knows that. I mean, and he gave these strategies. I believe, again, like I said at the beginning, these are his strategies. I don't believe that they came from my heart. These are his. And it was interesting when this book topic first came to me, one of the questions that was asked, is ISIS still going to be a topic when this book is released? Is this still going to be a current event? And God knew the timing for this book. And this book is not, this book has, it transcends what's happening in the, it transcends even that situation, like I said, into something that can be even applied to personal situations. But it's his heart. And we just need to come into agreement with his heart, and his name is so powerful. And as we speak his name, things will change. I believe that.
Indeed. And if we can remember and keep the vision before us that in the midst of ISIS members who are doing horrific things, there are some Sauls that will turn Paul as we pray, you know, in the midst of some of these extremists on whatever issue and topic, there are people for whom Jesus died and said they don't know what they're doing, but when the eyes of their hearts open up, they will turn around and become great advocates for Christianity. We can't just judge everything by what we see. We have to live by faith, and he invites us to be part of that bigger story, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Yes.
So we've got two strategies left to cover, the pray to release the healing of God. And you're right, before God was revealed as shepherd, before they knew him as provider, as their provider, or as the one who could bring them peace, he made his compassion known through his promise to be their healer. Unpack that concept of God being the healer.
It's one of his covenant names, and we see how God the healer was did that work through the hands of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed all who came to him. And, you know, we have that ability to go to him in prayer and ask for healing. And the need for physical healing is so great. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are living today still in those internally displaced camps, the IDP camps, 2 years going. And the health is at risk in those camps. The needs are tremendous. And so physical healing is one area that we definitely can be praying into, that God would just release his healing touch into those lives, into those bodies. Also, there's the healing from the pain of emotional trauma. You know, these are people group that have been traumatized. And when people are traumatized, they feel abandoned and alone.
Well, oftentimes they are abandoned and alone, and we can choose to let them remain abandoned and alone, or we can partner with them in our the power of our prayers to say, no, you're not alone. And I may not know you personally, but I'm not going to leave you alone in that situation.
Okay. And pray to release the peace of God.
Yes. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. It's so important that we are able to find peace in times of suffering. There's this verse that was in 2 Timothy that Paul actually wrote that said, all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. That's a verse that we don't like to think about very often. You know, and when we think about suffering persecution, we think about it happening in a distant place far away. But this is a verse that touches all of our lives. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. And so we need to be able to hold on to his peace when we come up to these times of suffering.
Well, one last question before we pray. I want you to talk about, the book of Acts and the idea that that wasn't just for then. That I really believe we're coming into a time, and because there is a remnant passionately praying, that eyes are going to open, you know, that men, young men and women are going to dream dreams, see visions. And because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord does raise up a standard. Just cast a vision for what is possible if we start to take his word seriously and we engage with all our hearts.
When we take his word seriously and engage with all our hearts, those promises will open up to you. And I can just say, Susie, from my own life, I have seen a release of visions that I had never even known possible before, that are so, well, visions about the people in the Middle East, visions about ISIS fighters, and the Lord just giving me, Lord giving me this powerful vision, and I knew that it was a call to pray for those that were entrapped by ISIS. And this is as we start praying, the Lord will give us those dreams and visions and show us, even pinpoint which strategic ways to pray. So there is a lot to be said about God is, he's faithful to his word. He said these things would happen, and now we're seeing them happen, and he's going to release it in even greater measure as the days grow closer to Jesus' return.
And he promises to confide in those who fear him. So as we walk in a holy and honor fear of God, and we listen and we keep that ear bent towards heaven, he will tell us things that the rest of the world doesn't know, and it's strategy for prayer and for living. So as we wrap up, Lorraine, I'm wondering if you would pray for the nation, our nation, that Christians would awaken so that we could not only not cover our heads over what's happening in our nation, but we could rise up and engage with what's happening to our brothers and sisters in other nations.
Yes. Father God, we just thank you and we just praise you for your goodness and who you are. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you have not left us here abandoned, alone, without a resource for strategy. Will you just encourage our hearts, God? I ask that you'd open up the eyes of all believers today to see you as you are, and that you would align our hearts with yours. God, that you would just show us how you see our nation, and how we can come into agreement with your purposes over our nation and over the situation in the world. Lord God, we thank you that your love is so great, and it's your love that causes, and your kindness that causes others, people to know and see you. So Father God, we just thank you that you're releasing your strategies, your heart, as we align our hearts with yours even now. God, I thank you that your presence is coming in like a flood. And Lord, would you just increase your presence in our lives and in our nation and in the world. By the powerful name of Jesus, we know that that's your desire. We agree with you in faith. Amen.
Amen. Lorraine, thank you for all you do and for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Susie. I really appreciate your ministry.
Appreciate your heart as well. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for Hour 2, I'll talk with the Smalleys about how to navigate relationships in times of transition. You won't want to miss it. Hour 2 is up next.